Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, this weekly special is kind of cool because if you want to call in and give a rant or just ask a question, feel free to, because today's show has no variable to it. It's just, it's an open format. You know, I kind of want to start off this show today kind of talking about, you know, aspects of life and how truly fucked up some people can be, you know. But honestly, I had a cease and desist letter sent out today, but, you know, when you go on the internet and you look and you see that a UFC Hall of Famer and world champion is trying to steal the name of your show, you know, for one, it pisses you off. But then the other, like MF said to me before we went live on the show today, you know, it's kind of beneficial in some aspects. You know, so I kind of want to start off there, and I'm going to start off with you, MF. You know, if this situation, you know, perplexed itself on you, how would you handle someone such as BJ Penn trying to come in and steal your hard work?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I'd be a little upset, same as you, because it's like, you work so hard for it, you know, you put your heart and soul into that show, so for somebody to come and fucking, you know, try and snake something away from you, yeah, I'd be a little fucking pissed off and territorial about the shit. But, you know, on the flip side of the coin, you think about, that's been your show for how long, so that's like, that's undeniable, dude. Couldn't nobody be like, oh, BJ Penn had a first strike, really? Like, what fucking rock were you under? You know what I mean? So it's like, you've already had that shit, you've already put in your time and everything else. So when you get a big name like that, it's going to create some kind of, not unwanted, but it's almost like a unnecessary controversy, but it's just going to bring attention to your show. You know what I mean? Because other people, like, that got your back are going to start standing up. Those people be like, yo, you need to take that shit down, change the name, whatever, whatever. This is fucking McGuire's show first. You know, so it's just going to bring a lot of attention to your show, and people that wouldn't have known about you in the first place, or that if they didn't know about you, you know what I mean, just because of fucking that bullshit with BJ Penn's fucking website. And God knows, dude, it's probably not even him fucking running the shit. You know what I mean? He's probably got fucking admins that have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, never been a scrap in their life fucking running shit. So I think it's just going to bring a lot of attention toward you.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of humbling how many, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to put anybody in a legal or binding situation, but, you know, I got to tell you, it was humbling how many people came to me and said, you know, bro, this is some fucked up shit, you know, and they reached out to BJ Penn, and, you know, from my understanding, from what was correlated to me today was he pretty much doesn't have any say-so on what gets put on BJPenn.com, but the bottom line is, he could still bring it to their attention. But, you know, I'm going to let it right out. I got the cease and desist letter on its way. It's going to be what it's going to be, you know. But it's like you said, I put in a lot of hard work, a lot of effort. But, you know, the fighters that were on, you know, especially last night, they said there's only one fighter's voice. And, you know, that's the funny thing about it is I let the fighters name the show. I mean, so if they're going to try to steal my show, then they're stealing the voice of the fighters. So, you know, BJPenn.com, middle fingers up, brother, middle fingers up. You know, I kind of want to jump on a different topic. I got that out the way. Man, I went to Queens, one of the worst fucking trips I've ever had in my life. You know, we walk up to the show with some of the artists. We're getting ready to go in the venue. And the guy that owns the venue basically walks out and calls the artists that I'm with niggers. You know, and pretty much just like that. And told them they weren't artists, that they were performers. And this dude was fitting to get smashed. And I jumped in real quick, and I said, whoa, 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 hey, listen, homeboy. He goes, well, I'm famous, you know, and I'm, fuck, dude, you look like a fucking used-up Ozzy Osbourne to me, so I don't give a fuck who you are. Yeah, and he starts telling me, well, I've had so-and-so here, and I've had so... And, I mean, I could have thrown out my name and thrown out who I am and what I do.
Motherfucker, you want a cookie?
Yeah, right? You want a biscuit, bitch? But, you know, so I handle it the right way, bro. I go, you know what? You may be famous. I said, I don't fucking know you. I said, so I'm not going to disrespect you. I said, you may be famous in your own right. I have no clue of that, so I'll give you that. I said, but in return, you need to give these gentlemen the same respect that they're giving you. I said, they didn't come up here and cause you a headache. I said, you don't know them from anywhere. How do you know they're not famous? I said, matter of fact, the man standing in front of me. Yeah, I said, the man standing in front of me is the People's Choice for BET for 2017. I said, so how can you say he's not an artist? I said, but my point is, you need to give them the same respect that you. And he basically looks at me and tells me, fuck you. You know, and you know, that didn't go over quite well with me. And it took to make a long story short. By the end of the night, I had correlated, well, not the end of the night, the beginning of the show, I had correlated with security. And I was out there, and I was so burnt up about it, I found one of the head security guards. And I told him, I said, bruh, I said, I ain't mad at you because you got a family to feed. I said, but you need to understand the real, bro. And I told him what happened. He goes, well, that's not the story that we were told. I said, of course not. I said, but they basically came out here and called these artists niggers. And I said, that's not cool, bro. So they went in and they apologized to everybody. But, you know, that wasn't even the worst part of New York. You know, I fucking land in LaGuardia. I forget to turn my phone off, the Wi-Fi from the plane. And as soon as I hit the airport, somebody hacks my phone. And I got to tell you, about the only thing I can remember good about Jamaican Queens is Jamaican Flavors, where I had a jerk chicken sandwich. Other than that, I wouldn't go back to that fucking place if it was the last place on earth, bro. That place sucks. What is it about places like that that turn people into zombies, bro?
I mean, I actually, you know, it's funny. There's a few famous experiments that everybody always quotes, you know, and like the one that people always bring out is, you know how if you take a rat and you put it alone in a cage and you give it either cocaine or water and it'll do cocaine until it dies. You know, that's the experiment that, you know, is super old that everyone's always said. But I think it was in 2007, and you can Google this, it's called the Rat Park Experiment. And if you put a rat in a cage where there are more things to do, where, you know, it's like this big open space where it has, you know, all kinds of challenges and things to do, if you give it good social, you know, partners and other rats in the park, then you find out that only about 10% or so of the rats ever do the cocaine, and none of them end up dying from it. You know, we have so many different experiments where even in rat density populations, and if you take small mammals like rats and you start putting them, you know, in higher and higher densities, as this increases, you start seeing a lot of the rats showing the same, like, signs and symptoms as crazy people here. You know, rats will withdraw. They'll be antisocial. They'll go sit in the corner and they'll rock back and forth. They'll, you know, chew at themselves and chew at their arms and, like, all these crazy fucking things. And what's amazing about it, man, is that we've gotten so far away from the fact that people don't understand that we are still animals, you know, that the human beings still have these things that operate on. And just like we've done all these different experiments with rats, dude, if you get human beings in too dense of populations, pockets like New York, you know, like L.A., like a lot of these big cities like Vegas that I'm in, you know, you get so many fucking people trapped together and there's so much traffic that it just, you don't care about people anymore. You're fed up with them. They're a dime a dozen. There's people fucking everywhere. And, you know, it just weird shit happens. You see the same things like overseas at big touristy destinations, you know, places like Bali. And once the density of people just gets up, man, it does a weird thing to human beings. And I don't quite know what it is.
Yeah, you know what? You know, MF, we're a little bit older. It's weird. It's like here I am in my mid-50s, and I'm not even going to throw an age out there anymore. And, you know, I thought I actually had seen every attribute or aspect of life. Bro, how sadly I was mistaken. You know, when you look at it like that, how much do we truly know about our own country, and how much do we truly know about our own people from city to city, from state to state?
You know, I think that'd be answered with a – actually, I think it'd be best answered with a question. Like what we'd always talk about, distractions, you know what I mean? So many people are distracted from everything that happens in life. They turn a blind eye to it because it doesn't affect them personally, you know? Or they get – it's the little bullshit fucking sympathy play that we talk about as well. You know, these people get convinced and sold and trained into believing, like, oh, we're going to help these people. But when it really comes down to it, you know, like, these people, would they take these people into the house? Would, you know, would they fucking actually help them? Would they be able to, you know, go out of their way to actually help these people? No, it doesn't matter because they don't actually think there's a problem to fix. Everything according to their world is, you know, hunky-dory. They care about, you know, what TV shows are coming on next and who's doing this and what celebrities fucking who and, you know, all this other just a lot of fucking nonsense, dude, just bullshit fucking distractions. People pay so much attention to everybody else's lives that they don't pay attention to their own. So in turn, they don't pay attention to their circle. That circle doesn't pay attention to the community, and, you know, community doesn't pay attention to the fucking city, dude. And that's just kind of the way it goes. And then the whole selfish behavior that has been taught for the last 20 or something fucking years, you know, where everybody's special, everybody is this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, just a whole bunch of fucking bullshit. You know, so these people are desensitized. They don't give a fuck. And like what Travis was saying, it's too many people, and eventually you just don't fucking care. You just want to withdraw. You know, like I talk about all the time, I fucking hate humans. I hate everything about them. But yet I'm sitting here like a fucking asshole trying to help them in the best way that I fucking can. You know? So I really just, I don't get it myself. But it's like people would rather believe a comfortable lie than be told an uncomfortable truth. You know what I mean? Just how it's easier to fool people than it is to get people to understand that they've been fooled.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, I don't think I've ever been ran over by so much luggage or, you know, ran into and shoulder checked and not had a single apology, you know, and when I would open the door for somebody, they were looking at me like I was fitting to rob them and shit. It took me 30 minutes to get somebody to take a picture with me and that police robot. You know, and they were from Uganda or some shit like that. They weren't even from the United States. So, you know, I've never physically walked up to somebody before and just had them just ignore me and walk by me like I didn't even exist. And that includes the police officers there. You know, it was shocking. It was, I don't know. You know, most people they got this glorified idea that New York is Times Square, Manhattan, the Upper East Side. But take your ass to Brooklyn and Queens and then tell me if you still like New York. And then I'll pay for your trip.
Don.
Like, huh?
There has to be something incredibly unhealthy about, I mean, you look at some of the apartments they have out there, dude, and you're living in a box with 50,000, 100,000 other people, and you don't know a single one of them. You know, you don't know any of your neighbors. You don't know if your neighbor's over there fucking cooking meth or a serial killer or a pedophile. You know, it's an entirely unnatural way to live life. I mean, it could be anything, man. You know, you're literally living in a box with 100,000 people that you've never even met. You know, you might know one or two people, maybe the girl down the hall that you see, but other than that, you're living amongst, you know, more people than the town I grow up in, the town I live now, all in this one, you know, 15-story fucking building. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, and then throw in the mix on top of that. You know, I wanted to bring out my camera, but God knows no, because if you light a cigarette, somebody will run up and snatch the cigarette out of your mouth, out of your hand, and run down the street with it because they're $18 a pack there. But, you know,
shut the fuck up.
Every 5 feet.
$18 motherfucking?
Yeah.
The fuck?
God, yeah, right?
If somebody snatch a cigarette out of my mouth, man, that shit's like gold. I would say
something like that. Oh, dude, it's crazy. You know, cigarettes, $18 a pack, but you can get a 4 chicken breast jerk chicken sandwich for $3.50. You know,
bro,
you tell me what's
smoke on that, then fucking $18 for a pack of cigarettes. Who the fuck is that?
Oh, dude, it was $9.50 for a little 10-ounce bottle of water. It was crazy, but dude, let me get back to what I said. You know, like I said, I want to pull out my camera because, you know, honest to God, every 10 feet was a movie. I mean, honestly, you don't even have to say anything in it. You just, if you had the opportunity to film just walking down, because, you know, it's not like you're in California where you could find a parking spot and, you know, walk to wherever you're going. Now, you theoretically have to park a mile and a half away because that's the only parking spot you can find, and then walk a mile and a half to wherever you're going. So, you know, we were making that walk back to the vehicle from eating lunch, and the hustle that goes on the street is crazy. I mean, you got guys running up to you, grabbing you by your shoulder, pushing you up against the wall, telling you, you know, not asking you, but telling you you're going to buy 3 Newport cigarettes for $5. It's almost like they're strong-arming you on the street. Cops are walking by not doing a fucking thing about it. It's almost like everybody's in existence, but nobody's paying attention. And I wanted to film this so bad, but I didn't want my camera stolen. You know, I think this is the first place I've ever been that I put my wallet in my crotch. You know? I'm dead serious, bro. Well, fuck, I was racially profiled from the minute I got in the airport by a fucking police robot. You know, so, yeah, this is a trip I just don't want to even remember.
That's how it all starts,
That's
how it all starts. All of a sudden, these dumbass fucking cops that are stealing all the stupid shit and making fucking bad names for other cops are going to get replaced by these robots that have no feelings, no emotions, no nothing. They will follow straight by the book. Then what are you going to cry? What are you going to say?
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, I get off the airplane. I come into through customs, and I get down there, and this fucking robot starts following me, bro. And I'm tripping out off of it, and I'm like, I never seen nothing like that in my life, so I thought it was a fucking vacuum cleaner, to be quite honest with you. You know, because the place
right,
is so
like
big, I thought
it was... shit.
Yeah, you know? And then this fucking thing whips around, and it puts his laser on me, and I look down, and it says, you know, security or some shit on it, property of NYPD and Port Authority, and you know, I'm like, what the fuck? And so everywhere I walked, this thing was following me. So I decided, well, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go to the bathroom. You know, maybe this fucking thing will leave me alone. I go in the bathroom, and you have to wait 20 minutes, 30 minutes just to use the bathroom. That's how many people are there. And so I come out, and this damn thing's still there. So I walk, and the thing starts following me again. By then, I'm getting pissed off. You know, I go stand by the Port Authority. And I tell this lady, this thing's fucking with me. It's been following me everywhere. She smacks it, tells it to go on its way, and it does. But, you know, what's funny, though, is that thing truly was being remotely operated by an individual. But then when I went back and researched the type of drone that it was, these have tasing capabilities. So if I was to make a sudden movement or a brash movement or whatever, or try to run from this thing, the thing theoretically could have tased me. What
right
type of public outcry do you think? I mean, isn't that insane?
Bro, yeah, I'm like, this thing better fucking start shooting out pizzas. Like, we can't make vending machines that come to people, but no, we can make something that's going to tase your fucking nuts off.
Right?
What's really
God.
Funny about this, man, is I don't know if anybody watches Black Mirror on Netflix, but it's a kind of a dystopian sci-fi, really, really well put together in Europe, and they have an episode just on that. You know, I'm sure Don, you've seen the, I believe it's called the Spot Mini. It's the DARPA dog that they have now that can, you know, it's fast as fuck and can open doors, and they got the robot
yeah.
that can do backflips and shit. I mean, Elon Musk was the dude. He got quoted saying that within the next 10 years, all these things you're seeing, like these autonomous dogs and your drones, are going to be moving so fast, you're going to need a strobe light to see them. I mean, and that's Elon Musk, the dude who's fucking making this shit.
Well, what's even crazier, you want to take it a little bit more depth than that. I mean, they've already got it to where you don't even need a significant other. You can just buy a fucking robot, you know? I mean, they've got women robots that anatomically are correct and can probably do a little bit better than some of the housewives out there.
I mean, you're in my area of expertise now, Don, and the future of sex bots is coming, man. And I mean, and even VR, like VR porn is taking over in terms of it's one of those things that is
fucking porn.
What
like
was
the
that?
World porn or some shit like that? It's like 70%.
Oh yeah, it's fucking coming, man. It is coming quickly, and I don't think anybody realizes how fast like this technology is moving and fucking integrating. And things here in the future are going to get very, very fucking strange.
Yeah, because they're already not there.
It kind of makes your pocket pussy out of date there, bro. I mean, technology is changing daily. I mean, it's how do you keep up with that?
Yeah, I almost feel like becoming Amish at this point, man. Like, they seem to have it right.
I wouldn't go there, bro. They sleep with their own sisters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I live with the Amish.
Touche,
bro.
Touche.
I live
in the
land of the Amish.
Have rights and all types of shit.
Hey, you know what? Let's talk about the Amish people for a minute, because it kind of cracks me up, man. You know, about 3 or 4 years ago, and this is how fucked up our city is and the people are here. They put this shit on the news. You know, it's like, you know, the Amish community is getting too family-oriented, I guess is the best way to put it. In other words, they're sleeping with each other. So we're going to have to, too much interbreeding. So we're going to have to split up the Amish community, and half of them are going to be moving to Iowa or Ohio, where the fuck they're from, and the other, and part of their community is going to be moving here to control the inbreeding. Well, this is the second time since I've been here that this has been done, so really all they're doing is creating more
inbreeding.
Oh, snap. Travis, you put your basket weave hat on. Now you got to wear it, bro. Why do you want to be Amish, homie?
I mean, man, it's another one of those things where anytime you get a isolated community like that, you're going to have that type of an issue. But at the same time, man, you look at the things that, you know, they do. They're not on their cell phones all day long. They're not on fucking Facebook. They're spending time with their family and friends. They're living
obviously.
More close to they're living more close to a natural life than you know, we are today. I don't know which is better.
Shit, but the people that run the world are fucking inbred.
Yeah, but
I don't look at my sister
and go, I want to ride you tonight. You know, I don't look at my sister and go, I want to get funky with you tonight. You know?
I was actually just listening to Sam Harris on a podcast, and, you know, Sam Harris is like a fucking absolute super genius, and he was talking about ISIS, and he was quoting a few studies that were done a few years ago in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and they were saying that, like, you got to understand the Islamic culture. Like, you go over to Syria, he was saying that in Afghanistan and Pakistan, anywhere from 80 to 95% of the people there have been inbred in one way or another, just from it being such a small isolated community. And he's like, and you got to realize, he's like, that on top of them living in a fucking area where there's no food, where it's hot as fuck, all of these things are, you know, factors that you got to put into play when you're dealing with these extreme fundamentalist, you know, fucking ISIS motherfuckers.
What I want to know is, how did you become so enthralled and knowledgeable in this aspect?
Because he's
fucking man. It's I'm a big fan of history, and I've always been a big fan of history. And then once I started listening to, you know, a few podcasts where, you know, like I said, like, you know, Sam Harris is a dude who is an absolute fucking, he's a neuroscientist. He's a genius in every fucking right. And, you know, that's one of the good things I think about the internet that kind of gets left out, is the fact that we can now listen to, you know, intelligent motherfuckers have conversations, and they can help us form our opinions, you know, make a broader perspective.
Yeah. You know, I kind of want to change the subject, homie. I don't want to put you mountain people up on, you know, the pedestal for the whole show. But
he's on the
be another lad family. No, I'm joking.
Oh, that was totally an angry laugh. Did you hear that shit? He's a
But I do want to take things to a serious note for a moment, man. You know, one of your fellow friends and people, you know, a gentleman that you both have respect for, Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, is truly creating greatness in the sport, man. I think it's a tremendous thing. You know, his management people hit me up yesterday, and they actually want me to do a show with Marion Renault, Aspen Ladd, Anthony Fluffy Hernandez and another individual on the show, and we'll have to see if that comes to apparition. I'm not quite sure yet. But, you know, what does it mean for you guys to see somebody that is so closely related to you that in life that he's finally getting his day after the death of his father? What does it mean for you to see brothers, you know, succeed after such an adversity and atrocity in their life?
Man, I can say personally that, you know, Fluffy is one of the most genuine, realist, no ulterior motive, like almost a little bit naive to a fault. You know, he is just such a honest and real and fucking nice dude that, you know, I'm incredibly happy to see all this happen. I just saw on Facebook the other day that, you know, he took his earnings from Contender Series and he was able to buy the property that, you know, him and his dad had lived on for many years. So it's amazing, man. And Fluffy is one of those guys where he's a fucking warrior. You know, he's an absolute savage at heart. And if you point that man in a direction, he's going to fucking march forward and plow through whatever the fuck is there.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how much correlation you had with MMF, but you know, I kind of was humbled by the kid the last time I had him on the show right before the Contender Series. And, you know, for once, he was actually open. And he said, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to say it. You know, my father was my rock. He was everything in my world. And he kind of got a little choked up about it. And it shocked me because I've had Fluffy on the show for a couple years now. And you know, if you talk video games, you could get him to talk, but if you talk the sport, he really didn't want to talk much. But, you know, it was one of the first actual interviews that I think I ever got an interview from Fluffy. And so I think the death of his father has kind of helped him mature a little bit. You know, I look at things the other day, and I got into an argument with a gentleman when I was in New York, you know, because God, those people there are such left-wing assholes. That state truly is a communistic state. I've never been to a place that had so many frickin' rules. But, you know, I made the stupid asinine remark that, you know, I didn't really care for Trump in the beginning, but I'm really starting to like what he's doing with the country. And holy shit, you know, for people that don't talk much, I can guarantee you, I about got that statement rammed down my throat by a bunch of fucking political left-wing nut jobs. You know, why is it that New York, out of all the states you look at, are probably some of the greatest, you know, Trump haters?
It's like the sister fucking state of California, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the left has completely taken over the liberal standpoint and the Democrats, you know what I mean? So I'm not even saying, like, those two are the same entity because they're not. Like, the far left is just – it's like giving a child room to think, like that conversation that we always have, you know what I mean? You're giving them the ability to decide what's best for them when they're, like, 4 years old, and that's how these grown adults are acting. And then it's like you let them get away with this, and then they're going to take it a little bit further, and they're going to take it a little bit further, and they're going to take it a little bit further. If you look at it, it hasn't all been, like, just gradual, like, sudden, you know what I mean? It's been gradual over time. Like, one thing has happened, another thing has happened, and this has happened. You know, this group of people were allowed to fucking do something. Now this group wants it. Now this group wants it. Now this group wants it. Oh, well, now we can define our groups based on how fucking crazy they are. So now you get 20 other groups that fucking want something. And these politicians, remember, like I said it before, you got these rich white politicians telling other people that other rich white politicians are evil. Which kind of makes no sense, you know what I mean? Because it's like the Democrat Party, as far as, like, history is known, whatever you say, you can go live back, fucking study, do whatever you want. I'm not going to go on here and, like, speak on shit. But they've, what would you say, they've profited off of the minorities. They've profited off of, like, kind of forms of enslavement, you know what I mean? Like, you look at things now, like, it may not be, like, plantation enslavement, but people are slaves to their jobs. They're slaves to the government's help. They're slaves in so many different ways, you know what I mean, whether it be these distractions. This is happening. Oh, well, we got to make you hate these fucking people. Oh, but take this shit. We're going to make sure that you need us at all fucking times. You know, and it's kind of sad on how it fucking works. So they use sympathy. They use fucking fear. They use anger. They use all these different fucking emotions to exploit, and people fucking fall for it. And then we look at how New York and how California is built. You got an entire state that literally three quarters of the state is within three cities. And that's why the rest of the state doesn't fucking matter, because you get these densely fucking populated, you know, free zones where people can fucking, oh, I want to keep these people in here because I want to keep doing my stupid shit and ain't nobody got to tell me nothing wrong. You know, you got those people. And then you got the other ones to where it's like, no matter how bad it gets, they'll never admit they're wrong because that's too much of a blow to their fucking ego. So even if they know their side is wrong, they know that what they're doing is wrong, they're still going to act like it's the right thing to do because they will not admit that they were wrong.
Yeah. You know, I'll kind of change the subject up a little bit. You know,
hey, but you gave me shit about Trump's new motherfucker.
I
remember that. You gave me shit a couple years back.
Oh, but, man, I actually like
the chaos. That's all I wanted.
I actually like where he's going on his thoughts and avenues. I'm not going to take that from the man. You know, hey, I'll be the first to admit that I didn't like him, but, you know, I'm learning to like him. You know, you got to remember, I was a Ronald Reagan man before this, so it's kind of hard for me to go that direction. But, you know, I want to talk about social media. We talk about it a lot, but, you know, when I got hacked in New York, I wasn't able to spend much time on social media. And, you know, I started thinking about the aspect of it, and the more I thought about it, the more I fucking started to hate it. The more I really didn't miss it. You know, so I understand on that side, MF, where you're coming from, because the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, when I go on there, all I see is either people bitching, half-naked fucking female fighters, or somebody with a fucking view that is so fucking sideways that they shouldn't even be allowed to be on the internet. You
and
know,
don't forget the self-righteous motherfuckers that want to make you feel guilty because they somehow were able to turn their life around.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good point. You know, so I decided what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on an escapade for the next 10 days. I'm going to fucking take, you know, pictures of myself holding my breast. I'm going to take pictures of myself of just my ass showing. And
you
just to show
people,
just to show people how pathetic the internet is. Now, I'm really not going to take pictures, bro. But
no,
I do
you
have
do
some
got voluptuous ass titties, though.
Hey, Travis tells me all the time, man. He always inboxes me and says, let me just see the nipple, bro. I mean,
it's because he ain't got no chest, my brother. That's why we call him titties.
Why do we always pick on Travis? Travis, you're being awfully quiet, homie.
I actually hit the fucking mute button there.
You got so excited. Okay, you start talking about my titties. He got so excited he hit the mute button, bro.
He ain't gonna drop his phone.
He
no,
didn't want
I
us to hear him breathing hard.
I absolutely agree with you, though, Don. And you know, the few times that I have, you know, been put in a position where it's like, hey, I don't have a phone for a week. It's a fucking great week. You know, social media has made me dislike, you know, a lot of people who I thought that I liked before. You know, because you're getting that glimpse into their ego, you know, into, you know, what people want to be, you know, what they're striving to be, not who they really are. You know, so it's like, it's one of those things, man, where I've done the same thing in terms of I went on my Facebook recently and got all my pictures off of there, and I am preparing for abandoning Facebook.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people are doing that anyway, but you know what? From this point forward, anytime I see somebody that's going to go out there and post, you know, themselves completely nude, I'm going to send them a dick pic. I am. I'm just going to send every fucking one of them a dick pic.
Send them a goat. Do the goat.
Oh, you know, and, you know, because, I mean, fuck, honestly, you know, the thing that pisses me off is, like today, it happens every day, I probably got 20 or 30 fucking, oh, go follow me at this. You can see me naked here. And, you know, I'll take it even a step further. Champ Stalo, if you go look on Facebook and look up Champ Stalo, she's either the WBA Women's World Lightweight Champion. She sent me a picture and then told me if I wanted to see more, I had to put $100 in her PayPal account. Now, we're talking about a world champion in boxing. You know, what the fuck is wrong with society?
Hey, people buy air guitars on eBay, bro.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a world champion. I mean, come on. She can't be doing that bad money-wise. She must just be a closet freak or whatever. But and I
maybe
do have the evidence.
Obviously.
And I do have the evidence to back it up because I can't come on here and say it without having something to back it up. But, yeah, it said, if you want to see more, put $100 in my PayPal account. Well, bitch, you already done showed me everything. Why the fuck? I wouldn't give you 50 cents to see more of that shit.
Well, what's scary about it, Don, is, you know, she's probably bringing in $250,000 a month from just all these fucking, you know, losers out there who will do that kind of shit. I mean, fuck, dude, I scroll through my Instagram now, dude. You go through your Instagram stories. Hey, we're deleting people all the time. That it's just nothing but, you know, for full access to my fucking Patreon, it's $45 a month or whatever.
Oh, yeah, bro. We get so many hookers on the fucking Misfits page, like, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, see, I don't even really hardly pay attention to Instagram because I don't like the simple fact that somebody will follow you, and I'm cool, so I'll follow them back. Then they go right back and unfollow you, but you're still following them. And it's like they're building up their career that way, which is a falsity to begin with. But then you're right. You go in this thing, if you want to see more than just my titties, hit this link. It's like, man, get the fuck out of here. I'll go buy a Playboy for $325. And fuck, I'll just tell my wife to lift her fucking shirt up. Fuck. You know, it's like, what the, I don't get it. But, you know, we'll get back to this champ stay low or whatever. Fuck, dude, I wouldn't give 50 cents to see that bitch naked again. I mean, so with Travis, what you say, there's probably people out there that would. Bro, I seriously doubt it. That shit would, I mean, that made McDonald's look like premium choice.
Bro, another crazy thing. If you look at this, like, there's actually, it's a category of nerds, I guess you want to call it anime nerds. These motherfuckers get into fake relationships or false relationships, whatever you want to call it, with fucking pillows with anime girls on them, bro. And I like full-blown relationships. Like, that. If people are going to do that shit, oh, yeah, dude, look that shit up. Fuck it. It was one of the funniest fucking stories I read in a long time. But, dude, like, if people are willing to do shit like that, I mean, come on, dude. Like, you got grown men thinking they're fucking four-year-olds. Somebody's not going to pay $10 to see some fucking professional boxer's titties.
True, true, because I remember seeing a story once of a dude that was in love with his car. I forget what they even gave it a medical terminology. I mean, this guy had sex with his car. He would actually, I can't even physically see how you would have intercourse with a car, but he was an intimate relationship. He was planning on spending the rest of his life with his car. And I'm like going, what the fuck? But it was serious. I mean, they had doctors try to diagnose him. They even had an intervention trying to get him to, make him realize that this wasn't reality. What is it about that aspect of life and fantasy that brings people that far in that they can't be pulled back out?
Shit, I'll take this one. I think it's a lot of factors, but the main one is, like, people try to escape reality, you know what I mean? Like, reality is so harsh and so fucking cold and so mean to these people, and, you know, especially the ones that need these fucking safe spaces. Like, they don't understand, like, the world is fucking terrible. It's just the way shit fucking goes. You know, suck it up. We gotta fucking move on. But they get so fucking stuck in their fucking ways where they think the world needs to bend to their will and bend to their ways because they're emotional and they can't fucking cope with this and they can't cope with this. So you get a lot of these groups of people, and I'm not, you know, just labeling fucking one because we all have our fucking issues, you know what I mean? But it's when you're so weak to the point where you need other people to cater to your emotions and you can't actually keep them in check, like, you're not always going to be able to, you know, prevent people from provoking or prevent somebody from fucking saying something that's going to fucking irritate you, you know what I mean? But you might not know these people, and just because, you know, you believe that that's wrong doesn't mean that they believe it's right. But you get these weak-minded people that just need their escape, and it becomes so fucking extreme that they come up with any type of way they can, you know, whatever release they're going to fucking have, and it goes to, you know, numerous levels. It's just kind of the way it goes. You think, if they can't handle reality, they're going to try to escape it, whether it be through entertainment, music, or weird shit, you know what I mean? And then they're told that it's okay to fucking believe that nonsense, and it's like, well, look what happens. It's like, well, but who's really to say that it's wrong, you know what I mean? So it's all kind of a slippery slope, dude, but it's sad, in my opinion. I think if people focus more on self-development, like, really, like, kind of
diving more into like the darker side of the soul, because that's something that a lot of people just deny about themselves. And I believe that that denial is why people don't actually grow, because until you really know like the true faults that you have and you can really look in that mirror and acknowledge that fact, then you can start working on them and maybe even just forgive yourself and fucking kind of, you know, realize that that's still a part of you. And regardless if it's like darkness or whatever you want to call it, it helped you along the way. And because, you know, darker the shadow, the brighter the light. So there's always going to be a balance. And hopefully, you know, people can be taught that eventually, instead of just saying that the world needs to bend to their way. They got to understand that they can change themselves to view the world differently. The world's not ever going to view it, you know, in a certain way. It's not ever going
to kinda,
tell you.
And just to kind of piggyback on top of that, man, you know, it has to be an effort. You know, it's going to take work. And that's the problem, is everything is becoming, you know, so fucking coddled, you know, from the kids nowadays to just everything. You know, there's no more struggle. Nobody has to go out and hunt for food. Nobody's fucking cold. Nobody's fucking hungry. And then the ones who actually are fucking cold and hungry, nobody gives a fuck about, because they're not part of, you know, the middle class, upper white fucking tribe, you know. But it's one of those things, man, where it's going to come with work. You know, it's going to take struggle. It's going to take reflection. It's going to take self-development. You know, it's going to take cutting the bullshit and being honest with yourself first and foremost, so that you can be honest, you know, out in the world.
Yeah, I feel you on that. You know, oh man, I tell you, this, I don't know, this BJ Penn shit's still getting on my nerves, man. It makes me want to just reach out and slap somebody. But, you know, I think, MF, I think you're right. You know, I think when we all look at it, you know, it'll probably help me more than hinder me. But you know what? Since I met you two, I went back and I started reading a lot of ancient Greek mythology and different things, looking at different aspects, especially Socrates. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm finding myself more intertwined with that aspect in life. And the more I do that, the more I see that society is completely, oh, man, I guess the best way to say it is I think the most knowledgeable people came from that time and period, and I think society had peaked, and now we're on a decrease. I think people are becoming a product of their environment. I don't think they understand life. I don't even think they know how to, you know, control a situation that is out of their, you know, out of their hands. It's just, to me, it feels like society as a whole is declining. You know, I think some of the greatest and truest scholars of our times have already came and left. And I don't think there's very many people that we can look forward or look up to in this day and time for that type of knowledge. Do you guys?
Personally, no.
I mean,
yeah, we've talked about it before. When you look at Cicero, back in, you know, those BC times, I mean, we've talked about this, but he had the six downfalls of man and the six mistakes he can make. And if you read all six, they're all still very apparent today. You know, so as a people, I don't think we've actually evolved in any way, shape, or form. I don't think we've grown. But at the same time, I don't think we've actually declined either. I think humans are just as fucked up as they've always been, and people either want to accept it or they don't. That's just kind of the way it goes. But if it's the same exact shit that was happening back in, like, you know, 500 fucking BC, and it's still happening today, like, that's got to tell you something, dude. Like, and as we grow more technologically, we become more distant to the actual earth, you know, like the actual spiritual, like, side of everything.
Yeah. Travis?
I mean, man, I gotta agree. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, we talk about Cicero and Socrates and Plato, and, you know, these people were spending all day thinking. They were spending all day self-reflecting. They were spending all day meditating, you know, and really starting to understand human psychology. You know, and the deeper, and, you know, like MF was saying, the more technologically advanced we get, the more disconnected we are from each other, the more we don't know how to just have a fucking conversation, the more that, you know, our attention span gets just whittled away down to where it's all 6-second fucking videos, and people can't even sit through that, you know? So it's one of those things where I think MF was right. You know, people are exactly the same, the average person, you know, now as they were then. But I think what's different is the internet. You know, it's the level of distraction. It's all these fucked up roads that people can go down to. You know, like, here's a good show for everyone to look up. You ever seen My Strange Addiction? You'll just watch watch fucking these middle-aged white people eat fucking furniture and drink fucking paint and just do the weirdest fucking shit possible because they have no struggles, because they're not out there fucking cold, because they, you know, they don't have to go out and look for food. So instead they just say, oh, I like to chew on my fucking couch. And you know, you get these people who have literally eaten furniture. I was watching one the other day where this chick was drinking fucking paint, like a little half shot glass full of fucking big ass paint. And, you know,
hey Travis,
you know, what was that?
Your feedback from your vibrator or whatever is a little loud.
Oh, just not saying something.
Probably this is Mike. I'm in the fucking in the car on the way to the gym right now. I had a little mic plugged in.
Yeah, well, you,
please continue. Please continue.
Yeah, bro. It's all good.
But yeah, it's one of those things, man, where you're absolutely right though, Don. We have to look towards the past, and we have to look at, you know, the knowledge from the people who discovered it, from the people who would spend, you know, all day long reflecting on these ideas and really making them, you know, what they are today.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you. You know, today's show is fucking everywhere. Oh, it's kind of crazy. We always get on here and we talk about crazy shit, and you know. So what's been happening in the world of Northern California? What's transpired in the world of the misfits?
Oh, come on, Travis. I know you want to talk about it.
Oh. What are we talking about here? I'm off.
He wants to know what we've been up to.
Oh, with the app and shit?
Sure. I don't know. Whatever the fuck we've been up to.
Yeah, a little of this, a little of that. You know, I'm out I'm actually out in Vegas right now, getting out here with Thomas Fallon, Justin Ford, Michael O'Leary. What's your last name, John? John Garcia, you know, from the UFC gym. Josh Apelt is out here getting ready for the Contender Series next week. So we're actually about to be at the gym right now, and you know. But other than that, man, things have been good.
So what are you stepping up in the cage, or are you cornering?
No, we're just out here training right now. I think Apelt fights on, when's Apelt fight? Mid July, and then Justin Ford is also getting ready for a fight, and Michael O'Leary is going to be fighting on July 6th at Thunder Valley. So we're just out here finishing up a fight camp.
Cool. So you're not even up in the mountains. How does it feel?
No, I'm in Vegas right now.
How does it feel to be amongst real people?
Dude, it's fucking rough, man. Vegas and Nevada in particular, dude. I feel like there's still like nuclear radiation left over here from all the fucking, you know, shit that they just buried out in the desert. I feel like you can only be out here for like 2 or 3 days till you start getting radiation poisoning.
Is the struggle real, my friend? Is the struggle real?
I ain't got no real weed either. Bullshit.
Luckily, I bring that with me.
Oh, yeah, you fucking go. I fly every single fucking time. Fucking stupid. And I'm the one that always goes through the x-ray. I can be with everybody else. And they're like, nope, you, sir. And I got to go through the fucking x-ray, take everything off. It's not embarrassing, not in the slightest.
We fucking drove out here, man.
Bro, they tried saying that the fucking Super Nintendo was a bomb. Like, I looked at them like they were fucking stupid. I'm like, if you trash my Super Nintendo, like, we're fighting.
Hey, at least you didn't get groped, man. Bro, every time they kept trying to tell me that something went off in my anal cavity.
Like,
and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I got metal inside of me. So this dude's groping my dick, bro. So this dude gropes my dick, and I'm like, bro, you need to step off. I said, homie, your job don't include filling me up like that. And
are you going to shake it for me?
What's that?
I'm like, are you going to shake it for me?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, my wife don't even touch me like that sometimes.
Right, finally, a little attention.
You know, but it was like, what the fuck? I mean, where do they get the right to physically, you know, touch a person anywhere they want without a warrant or written consent of law enforcement?
fear. I guess a lot of fear, you know what I mean? Propaganda of all fucking particular types. This group of people are taught to fucking hate these people, and these people are taught to hate these people, and these people fear for their lives, and these people fear for their lives. And you get all these motherfuckers on edge to where it's like, if they even just smell it, you're not from around there, you're an outsider, you're danger. You know what I mean? Because they already got fucking snakes in the fucking grass that they got to deal with at home. Something else comes in from the outside, they're automatically fucking snatching you. You know what I mean? They don't want no problems. It's hard enough dealing with their own fucking shit. And that's on all sides, dude. You know what I mean? Like, that's how fucking crazy this world really is. Like, these people are being told to hate other fucking people. And, like, that's what I don't get with fucking humans nowadays. It's like everything I see on fucking TV, on the news, everything is fucking, what do you say, like, directed toward one particular type of fucking people and their agenda. And it's brainwashing these fucking people and getting everybody to the fucking tipping point. And it's like, what's going to happen? Like, I was reading some shit talking about the fucking Civil War, where people were talking about a new Civil War. I was like, all that's going to be is a fucking massacre. That's all that's going to be. Because when you look at one side, you get a lot of fucking naive fucking youngsters and fucking older people that just never actually came to fucking reality. You know what I mean? You get one particular side that's completely just, what would you say? Like, they're violent, but they're not exactly, like, physically capable of violence. And I'm not trying to, you know, just single them out in any way, shape, or form. But then you look at society, 70% of Americans are overweight or a fucking beast. So it's really, it's like, if it came down to a war, that automatically 30% or 70% of people are not fucking capable of actually dealing with a day-to-day struggle if they had to go without food or if they had to go without water or things of that nature. Then you take that 30%, how many of them could survive without technology? How many of them could survive without all these fucking amenities that fucking happen? Then out of that percentage, take the ones that are actually physically fit to be able to fucking handle shit if it really came down to it. Dude, there's probably like 5% of Americans outside the military would actually be able to handle some shit if it came down to a civil war. Let alone that fucking some other shit that could happen. So, I don't know, man. All these people are just on fucking edge. It's like it's waiting for a tipping point. But eventually, it's going to swing, and that's when everything's going to fucking happen. But luckily, when that chaos actually does fucking birth, growth will actually start occurring. Because out of that fucking chaos, out of that strife, out of that uncomfortable fucking situation, growth will actually fucking occur. Because people have been too stagnant. People have been too coddled. Everything's been fucking handed to them. Everything's been fucking given to them.
You know, I have to agree with you, you know, and it's a pretty fucked up situation when everything is handed and given to you, and, you know, a lot of people don't really understand that aspect of life. You know, we whipped through an hour today. It kind of went by really, really fast. It seems like every time we get on here, it goes through like crazy. So we're going to let Travis give his little farewells and make sure he's got his dildo put away so it doesn't vibrate on the air again. And hand the mic over to him. What, you know, little homie, what you got to say?
Well, I got it turned down to a 2, so it should just be a slight buzz at this point. But like I was saying, man, just, you know, shout out to all my guys that are, you know, going to be fighting soon. Thomas Fallon, Justin Ford, Josh Apelt, Michael O'Leary, and John Garcia. You know, everybody from UFC, Jim Rockland. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah, have fun in Vegas, little homie. Don't sleep with too many Amish girls, and I think
too
you'll
late.
Be all right on that note.
Much too late for that.
Damn, it's not already? You ain't even been out there 24 hours yet.
Hey,
the Amish community
done.
Is heavy in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, we are. That's probably where you're really at, bro. I'm going to hand the mic to Emma back. Emma, give us Travis's random thought of the week.
Shit. Oh, I'll give a random thought because it actually was kind of random thought that I've been thinking today. But as everybody looks at themselves, nobody really takes into account anybody around them. You know, like, say, for example, somebody could post something on Facebook, right? And maybe you can't blame them for what they said. But if their words were to poison, say, 300,000 minds and got them to commit an atrocity, you know, nobody wants to really take that into account. It's like the smallest thing that you do in life could affect so many innocent people that you have no connection with or that you had no idea would actually be affected. You know, and like last week we had talked about, like, you know, you go through life thinking that everything you're doing is righteous and, you know, you're justified in everything and you're not a bad person. And then one day you wake up and you realize you're a fucking monster, you know. So it's a good reflection to just look back and think about not the people directly, but the people indirectly that you have affected. That even if you thought you were justified or even just thought you were doing the right thing, think about how that could affect somebody else.
I like that. I like that. Well, you know, my boys, another week in the books. Much love, much respect. I'm going to take us all out with a little bit of our homie, Johnny.
Yeah.
And, here's a little cash for you on the way out. Peace.
Hey, let's show them how to do it. Stoves, hard stand, cheese, riveting. Come on, let's kill them on this one. Let's show these youngsters how to do it, yeah, because they're doing it wrong. We doing it right. Hey, shout out Hard Fam, this coming from the Hard Fam. But that nigga Daniel, we pull up in that dark van. 18, hopping out no fear like we parachuters. Minivan hopping out, I got a parachute. Call them both Yosemite Sam, they got a pair of Rugas. Iron sharpens iron, yeah, but first you gotta force a fire. Never been back to the corner, and before the fire, we're shooting at your roof. We ain't aiming for your tires, yeah, I'm putting the booth all day, all night. Yeah, we never tired, this ain't a homicide. Homie, be cool, just a lyrical assassination in the booth. Get it? Assassination bloop. Then I blew the top off of the Lincoln and I'm speeding through. I got the real spitters. It's a melee. Yeah, I'm nutty with these bars. Call me Payday. Got 'em.